Kuf Chav Tes. Let's up to Yud Aleph. Halacha Yud Aleph. There's a Chav Tes. A Lamed and a Lamed Aleph. Okay, so Halacha Yud Aleph, we're in the middle of discussing loads of bosses. So yesterday we began with this thing called the Tish. I don't know how to pronounce this. Kish?
Kestel?
Yeah, no. The literal translation is a table box.
A table? So what is a table box?
I don't know.
It's a closet.
It seems like attached to the table is a special compartment in which you put books and you put money. I think maybe it's a drawer. Is it a drawer?
A drawer.
A drawer? Could be it's a drawer. So you have over here a table. What's that?
No.
I think it's a drawer.
A box.
It's attached to the table. And part of the, this drawer, it can be seen as a drawer. It's miduchah to put muksa. So we learned yesterday, if you have a table, and you have in the drawer, you have muksa. And the muksa, so the entire table is a bosses. The davar ha'aser, you're not allowed to move the table on Shabbos.
Right.
What is the solution? Before Shabbos begins, you should put into the table a davar ha'mutar as well, or mechatil, or let's say the situation was such where you put on the table, in addition to the muks that's in the drawer, there's also davar ha'mutar. So we learned yesterday, are you allowed to move the table? Depending on what is more choshev in your eyes. If the item that is mutar, food, is more choshev in your eyes, then the table is a bosses, l'davar ha'aser, u'l'davar ha'mutar, and you're allowed to move the table. The Chayadam says not so fast, even though technically speaking you are allowed to move the table, you should do your very best to shake out the muksa. Even though technically speaking you are allowed to move the table with both the davar ha'aser and the davar ha'mutar, if you can somehow shake the table to remove the davar ha'aser, that would be ideal. But if the situation is such where it would be ruined if you would shake it out, or just cannot do it, then he concluded yesterday, you are allowed to move the table because it's not a true bosses. Now he explains in more detail. Nearly the imaha tish kestel hamagera, which means this drawer, we're calling it a drawer, totally b'shulchan v'oslo nich v'sechel lechem v'sakinim, it's meant. It is designed to store bread and sakinim, the knife, which is not muksa. These are things which are permissible. A knife, a food knife, not dealing with a knife that's used to cut things that are muksa. Things that are also dealing with a knife that's used for food. So this is what this drawer is designed for. You have a table.
And then you put the silverware in the drawer.
Silverware in the drawer, exactly. It's some type of table which has this type of compartment where you store the silverware. And the silverware is something which is certainly not muksa. And the era, for some bizarre reason, someone put in this drawer, shimiach boy ma'os, someone put in their money, afilu ein boy lechem v'sakinim. So this goes back to the principle that we started with, the seven rules of bosses. If you have a table, you have an item, and you have on the table something which does not belong there, even though it was there by hashmashos, that does not make the table, the object, into a bosses. Something is only a bosses if the object that is resting upon it belongs there, and you want it to be there for the entire Shabbos. And of course, it was there during the Bein Hashemashos period. In this situation, you have a drawer. The drawer is designed for silverware, for food, and someone put money, someone put their wallet in there. The wallet does not belong there, so therefore, even if it's the only thing in the table, on the table, it's mutter. V'yachogav da'tish kestel v'adei oslataltel. Aval, even though you're not allowed to move the drawer itself. In other words, let's say I just want to take the drawer out. I have the drawer, and in the drawer there is my wallet. So let me pull the drawer out and take the whole drawer to another room. And then also, by the way, it's not so simple. You're allowed to take a drawer out of a desk. That's boina and soiser bekalin. If you have a desk and you have a drawer, and let's say in the drawer, whatever reason, you want to just take the whole drawer and bring it to another. There are children. You want them to play with the drawer back and forth. They'll get their hands, they'll hurt their hands by going back and forth. So on Shabbos, I want to take the drawer and take it out and bring it to another room. Are you allowed to do that? It depends. If the drawer is permanently attached, which can mean sometimes you have to, in a very clever way, press down certain pieces in order to pull it out, then you're not allowed to. Because that would violate Soyser B'Kalim, some of the more sophisticated pieces of furniture.
It's a mantling.
You're dismantling. Some of the more sophisticated pieces of furniture, when the drawer goes all the way out, it doesn't go all the way out. You have to go and release, stick your fingers in, and press down on certain
stoppers
and open them up in order to pull it out. If that is the situation, the way the drawer is almost come out a permanent part of the furniture. So then by removing, pushing your fingers down and removing it, that
release.
That can be soiser bekelim, it should not be done. If on the other hand it's just one of the old-fashioned drawers where you can just keep on going and it comes all the way out, that is much less of an issue. That's not called soiser bekelim because there's nothing really keeping it permanently attached. So it's not, it's meant to go in and out. You can take it in and out. Even though normally you keep it, you put it, it's part of the drawer, it's part of the furniture, that is not necessarily a problem of soiser bekelim, you can take it out. Yeah.
Standard, which you up and down.
Standard, firstly, you're not dismantling. You're just changing the size. It's not dismantling. Over here, you're actually dismantling a piece of the furniture. Taking off a door, that's for sure no good. But a drawer is somewhere in between, because many drawers are not permanently attached, but yet they're meant to be attached. Mm-hmm. So the distinction is, how attached is it? If you have to do something special, a special maisa, to detach, even though it's very simple. What's the big deal? You just put your finger there and you press the release and it comes out. Nevertheless, it's considered to be permanently in place. So you're able to do it with your finger and push it down. But where it's not like that, it's just simply in and out, so then it's not considered to be attached. It's not a violation of soiser bekelim to remove the drawer on Shabbos. But that's not the issue. The issue here is muksa. Let us say the drawer is not attached. Or this little box that's on the table, whatever the thing with the contraption is, it's on the table. And in this box itself, there is a wallet, which is muksa. So on Shabbat, I just want to take the box out with the wallet and put it in the other room. You're not allowed to do it. Even though we just finished a moment ago that it's not really called the buses, because it's not meant that the wallet should be in the drawer. The drawer was meant for food, was meant for silverware. It's not meant for this. So in Echnami, that just means that the table is not a bosses. Because when I'm moving the table, I'm only moving the drawer indirectly. But the drawer itself, which only has at this moment in time a wallet, is still called muksa. I'm moving the muksa, that you're not allowed to do. So because the drawer in and of itself is a kli shemachta leheter. So the table is the table, which is heter, and the wild is iser, and therefore I can move the table. But the money is not, it's not what it's meant for. So therefore, when I'm moving the table, I'm moving really the permissible part of the table, and therefore that's my kavan, that's why it's moved. But if I'm only going to move the drawer, I'm really primarily focusing on the prohibited matter, which is the wallet, and that would be aser. This requires more understanding. Let's say that it's kavua in the legs, and it's not taloi. Nearly the mutter the tatla shulchan im haraglayim with the legs af al pi shein daf hashulchan kavu biraglayim because she came. So if now you know, let's say you want to move the entire table and you pull the entire table, you put the legs with it. The raglay hashulchan. If this box is kavu not on the table itself, okay, it's this drawer. If the drawer is not attached to the table itself, it's only attached to the legs. The raglay hashulchan. The ein etali b'shulchan, nearly his leniency. The mutter l'tatal hashulchan in raglayim, af al pi she'ein daf hashulchan kavua b'raglayim. Even though the daf hashulchan is not attached to the legs, because it's indirect. And kol shekein kashemuchuber she'ev shulatatal b'raglayim, av raglayim levad osvato. I think what he means up here is in a situation where you have this box. And this box is meant to store muksa. Not like the previous case where the box was meant to store food and silverware. You have this box, and the box is meant to store muksa, which under normal circumstances, would prohibit one from moving the table, because now the table is clearly a bosis ledavar ha'aser only. However, if this box is not attached to the table, the main part of the table, is attached to a secondary part of the table, the raglayim, so then we consider it to be something which is not the ikur. And when I'm moving the table, even though I'm indirectly moving the raglayim, which has attached to it the muksa, he appears to say we're lenient. Okay, this requires obviously much more understanding, because I don't really understand what the case is, what the mitzvah is. When we'll do the practical halachas, hopefully we'll get a better grasp of what this means. Let's just try to cover some more ground now, quickly to get to some of the principles. Halacha yudbeis tokuf lama, kishmi mitan not shaban in the spar. Shlaoshu muks el betoto. Now going back to, we think pretty much over here, we're pretty much, okay, we're winding down with the rules of bas. We've been just discussing now more general rules of muksa. And he has some very important principles. Mitamim shebi'anu, people don't know this. The shaloi ashu muksa el betoto, it is only forbidden to move muksa. There is no prohibition to touch muksa. As long as you don't move the muksa, you can leave it hammer on the table, you can touch it, you can caress it, you can kiss it, you can do whatever you want to it. Just don't move it. That is the only prohibition. Avol b'negia mutter. What? What?
In other words, you have to... Is there a
distance
factor?
A distance? How much? A mashable. Even the smallest amount you're not allowed to. You should never kiss your cell phone. A cell phone has more bacteria than the worst parts of the toilet. That's what it says. On the wall, it says London. The worst thing that you can pass.
Railing at the subway.
What?
Railing at the subway.
The cell phone is even worse than the railing of the subway. The cell phone is the worst thing. You should. That's what the people that are very macro. Trump is very macro. He will not use someone else's cell phone. He will not touch. If someone gives him a cell phone, he will not touch it. He's very machmir on this, the bacteria. He knows this halacha that someone's cell phone is full of the worst form of bacteria possible. So it's bad enough that you touch your own cell phone. You should never touch someone else's cell phone. What? I was once in the hospital visiting someone wherever I was in the hospital. So we had to speak to a doctor. So I called the doctor and I wanted the doctor should tell the nurse. So the nurse wanted to talk to the doctor, and I gave the nurse my cell phone. She didn't want to touch it. She did not want to touch the cell phone. She's like, you know, you're in the hospital. Wherever you go, you wash your hands, Purell. Everything has to be perfect.
The gloves, they're very
sensitive. They will not touch, and they're 100% correct. So, avol b'negia mutter, you can touch. Kishud l'tzarech davar hamutter. Uvavach lo yonid oisa b'yelem, do not move it. Now, he does go on to say here, I didn't realize, he says, kishud l'tzarech davar hamutter. Why do you want to touch it? Why would you want to touch a hammer if you're not going to move it? There is a purpose. What the purpose is, I do not know. But he says there should be a purpose.
You want to put something on it?
Okay. You want something to rest on it. You want to actually use it as a support. Okay, very good. You want to put something on it. Then you can do it. You're allowed to sit. Here's an example. You've got to sit down on stones. Stones are muksa. Building materials are muksa. There's some type of things that are clearly muksa. You're allowed to sit down on the stones and the beams. If you, as long as they are heavy enough that by you sitting upon it, it's not going to move. Gedolim she'enam zazen in mekuma machmas yeshivasai. V'chein mutu liga b'shulchan v'amur alfa pi sheneris kavum boy. You can touch a table and a pillar, even though there are candles that are attached to this table. So therefore, the entire table is a basis l'davar ha'asar. Think about that. You have a table, a leichter, and the only thing on the table is the leichter when Shabbos began. So you're not allowed to move the table on Shabbos because the table is a basis l'davar ha'asar. So how are you allowed to eat and eat your Suda Shabbos on this dining room table if you did not put a challah on the, if you put a challah on the table, so you learned yesterday, is that now the table is a basis l'davar ha'asar? And b'di'aved, even if you cannot remove the leichter, you can move the tables. The table is not technically mutter. But if you did not put on the table for Shabbos bread or anything else, so the only thing the table is supporting is the muksa. So the table is muksa, you can't move it. If you can't move it, how then are you allowed to sit down and set up place settings and have a Suda Shabbos on this table? The table is muksa. The answer is, what? Exactly. Muksa is only to move, but to touch and to use is permitted. Aval also liga b'menor tuluya. V'chein the basis, you're not allowed to touch a menor tuluya, the menor that is hanging. There was a chandelier you're not supposed to touch. Why not? I don't know. V'chein the beitza shenolda.
So it'll move.
Because it'll move. Is that why? Let's say it's not going to move. You're not allowed to touch. There's no reason. There's no reason. There's no reason for it. You have no purpose. I guess he's saying there's no purpose. The only time you're allowed to touch the table, you need to eat on the table. You want to use something to support, fine. But if the menorah, what could you possibly need the menorah for? Maybe I want to hang something from it. Maybe I want to go hang up my coat. And the menorah is not, the chandelier is not going to move. It's in place. So I want to go and hang up my coat. I take a hanger, my coat on the chandelier. Why not? It's chandelier is muksa. It's muksa, but it's not moving. So it says no. I don't know why. Okay, so obviously only when the Muslim, which is hanging an egg, might move. I'm allowed to take a utensil. Now here is another halacha, I'll take and cover over an egg, you don't want to step on it. It's an egg, so you can cover it with the utensil. Do not touch it, because if you touch it, you may come to move it. The im dvar heter mutter munach al hamenorah. Let's say the menorah, a hanging menorah, and there's something attached to it. You have a hanger with a coat is attached to this light fixture, and I want to remove the hanger from it. By me taking the hanger off the chandelier, which swings a little bit, I may cause the chandelier to swing a little bit. It says that it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Tahadeh tiltul min hatzad. Okay, that's the time of coming soon, and that time muksa, if you don't metaltal muksa biodaim, almost every halach that we have discussed thus far is dealing with taking the object in the normal way. I want to move something in the normal way. Are you allowed to do it? Yes or no? But let's say even in situations where you're not allowed to move the muksa, there are situations where you can move it min hatsad. And minatsa just basically means to move it in an unusual way. If during the weekday this is not the way you would move the object, then it's mutter. You do not necessarily have to do something exotic by using your head or your foot or your elbow. As long as the way you move it is not the way you normally do during the week, that is sufficient. If the way I pick something up is with my hand, my fingers, so now I'm just going to push it with the back of my hand, so that's also called tiltul min hatsad.
What would be a problem with the egg?
The what?
On the middle of the week, so, you would never cover an egg with a spoon.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the idea. No, the egg is the problem. Is when you touch an egg, the egg is going to move. So therefore, if you want to protect the egg, just take something and cover it. But when you cover it, make sure you don't touch it, because lechatchila you're not supposed to move it, even when that's not. Even when that's only b'di'avad. If you do not need to move muksa, even when that's not, it's better not. And therefore, if you can take a utensil to cover, that would be the ideal thing to do. Commotion scribe sin achazevich imutul letakul muksa nefichot very big chiddush to blow. Whoever knew this halacha, that you're allowed to metalpal muksa through blowing. Get down, you blow something. So therefore, that's also, you're not being metalpal, that's considered to be minatsad. That is minatsad, it's not direct, it's not the normal way you move something, and that is permitted. Let's, we'll see more. Loi osho metalpal eloki udarka biyadayim. He's explaining that more detail. Aval tiltul minatsad, dahayinu she'in metalpal muksa biyadoy, kegoyin shehit min peiros bedavar muksa, v'gam mitzasim begula. You have buried fruit in sand. Sand is muksa. So now I want to remove the fruit. So if the fruit is completely buried underneath the sand, the only way I can get to the fruit is by separating the sand. But let's say the fruit is not entirely submerged in the sand. The stem comes above the sand. So now in order to remove it, I just need to pull the stem and the fruit will come out of the sand. Even though by pulling the fruit out of the sand, you're causing the sand to move. But I'm not directly causing the sand to move. The sand is being moved indirectly through moving the fruit. That's mutter. That's called minatsad. Sand is muksa.
But that's a normal way.
Sand on the beach is worse. Sand on the beach might be the same thing, but sand bederach kol is muksa. If you have a in the house, or you have some type of for children that is sandbox that's not mechubal karka. It's just something which is portable. So the sand is muksa. So you want to say a child that's a toy, if you designate the sand for the child that's a toy, then it's not muksa. If you designate it, this is... No, it serves no purpose. Earth is derech klal muksa. Unless the earth has been designated for a purpose to cover waste, or to use for a purpose, earth and sand are objects which are, by definition, muksa, machmas, atzmai, and may not be moved. Earth that is attached to the ground, if it's hard earth and you remove it, that's a melacha deraisa of boiner, a melacha deraisa of soiser. And that's mechubal karka that's been removed or manipulated. It can be boiner or soiser or choyresh. There are many possible violations. But let's say it's not mechubal karka. Let's say it's not attached to the ground. It's on a table. Or let's say it's in a pile. It's a real example we had before is pile. It's in a pile. So the part that you're taking is not what's mechubal karka. It's above earth. I just want to take the earth and then play with it. Do that. No. Earth serves no function unless it's been designated for a function. It's muksa machmas atzmai.
So you can't walk on the beach like that.
No, walking there, that's there. You can walk on the beach of Shabbos. That's kedaka. Walking in the snow, you're compressing the snow. Thank you very much. You're compressing the snow. You're causing it to melt. Anything that you do kedarkai, and you indirectly cause there to be a change which otherwise be forbidden, is permitted. Because you're not mamish doing anything. It's davar she'ena mischavin, that the shloi nichalei, and you're not really doing anything. And anyway, it's only a shalom of muksa, and it's the kedarkai. So therefore, there is no issue. You can definitely walk on the beach on Shabbos, just like you can walk down the street today on Shabbos, even though there are cameras taking pictures of you wherever you go for the recording. Even though the chatzil, if I go out, I want to go and have a picture of myself taken wearing my Shabbos clothing. What? My strive. I want there to be a picture, a record of me. And when Shabbos is over, I'll go to the camera and retrieve it. So you stand in front of your security camera, and you know, you smile. So it's like Shabbos, you can just go up to, go to the computer and retrieve it. That is usher, obviously. But if you're not having kavana, it's kedarka.
Can you turn off the cameras and shoot
no,
the Shabbos?
Of course not. It defeats the whole purpose of having a camera.
What?
No, they do not turn off the cameras. No such thing. You know, here, nowhere. No
okay,
such thing. No such
camera.
Thing. The halacha is, as long as I have a kavana, then it should be a picture, it is mutter. It's a davar she'enim eschavein, it's mutter. We don't, you know, that's the way, that's the bala. It's not an ideal situation, but that's the way we live today. What?
Do you have an issue with the kotel with the cameras?
That was like 30 years ago. 30 years ago when it was a novelty to have a camera and they installed cameras by the kotel, people asked Rav David Feinstein, are you allowed to go to the kotel on Shabbos? Because there are cameras, you're allowed to go. It is usher to go to the kotel on Shabbos. Because going to the kotel on Shabbos, you're having your picture taken. What? Rav David. No, that's Rav Moshe. Rav Yashiv, you're passing usher. Also, you're not allowed to go to the Kosam Ravi on Shabbos because your picture's been taken. It's not deraisa. Clearly, electronic image is not deraisa. It's only midrabanan. But you're being misayeya. So today, that halacha has fallen to the wayside because of that the halacha would be true. You can't walk out of your house. Worse, you can't even. You have to go under your bed because there's someone watching. Someone is watching somewhere. So therefore, the minhag has become that you can't live. You have to come out to a leniency that's only midrabanan. There's certainly no deraisa, and it's the other she'enim eschavein. It's not just any she'enim eschavein, it's a misasek. You're not even thinking about it. The other she'enim eschavein is, I know what I'm doing. I'm dragging the bench. And I know there's a possibility I drag the bench. No, I may come to actually cause the grass to come up. I know what I'm doing. Today, we've come to a point where when you walk in the street, you don't think. Who thinks that someone's taking a picture that you're being recorded? You think if you walk from here down to Avenue M, someone probably took a million pictures of you. Every building has a camera in front of them on this side, should across the street, here, there. I mean, in the shul itself, there are cameras, and those are the cameras that you know about. We're not even talking about the hidden cameras. Okay, in a real secure environment, the main camera is not the camera that you see on the wall. That's a decoy. The real camera is what you don't see. They're all over the place. Okay, the cameras are in the light bulbs. They sell the camera. You go buy on Amazon for $20 what looks like a regular light bulb which has a camera, and that's the camera, a 360 camera. I mean, those are the real cameras. These are just the decoys to fool people to look over there. Oh, no one's watching me over here, so I can do what I want in this part of the room because the camera can't see me over there.
In the charge, so
they changed the
charges.
They didn't change halacha. It was never usher. It was a chumra. It's a chumra. It is a tzilum. It is an image. You're creating an image. You're creating a record. It's ksiva. It is a bizrayu with the ksiva. So going back 30, 40 years ago when these things did not exist, it only exists in one specific location. So then if you don't have to go there, don't go there. Don't get involved in the shayla. But today you cannot avoid the shayla. So then we fall back on the default. What is the bottom? What is the ikar halacha? The ikar halacha is only a midraban at worst. And number two, it's not even a davar she'enim eschavein. It's a misasek. So you put those two together, and also you put those two together, and you can't even live. So that's the halacha is its mutter. That's what it is. Yeah.
No, I've said that now. I was selling a security camera in a charger, the small chargers for iPhone.
For the iPhone.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The camera is there in the wall.
The camera's there. So the camera's all over the place. Yeah. Wherever you turn, there's a camera. Next, every bus today, every New York City bus has a camera. Yeah. Has a camera, and they also record.
Well, you know,
and they record. You go, but it's so common. It's Messias. The garment tells them to now. Let's say the thing is mamish buried to the ground, but I can stick a toothpick in, and by taking a toothpick, I think I'll be able to pull it out. So she'ena tzarach l'takel al muksa b'yadayim. Leila, you can take v'shemtek avagav di al yidei zed nefel al muksa b'men. Even though the muksa, the sin is falling to the side, and in this example, the sin is muksa. Kevan she'en tzarach l'klal la muksa. I don't need the sin. I just want the food. The food has been stored there. Avak shakuluk tamen boy. Also, little if the entire object is buried under the sin, the only way I can get to the muksa is by b'yadayim. Brushing the sand to the side to get to the muksa. So then I have no choice but to be metaltal the muksa mamish, and in this instance it's going to be also muksa who kli shemutu l'talk. Let's say the muksa kli shemutu l'talk l'tzorch mekaymoy. So let's say it's not muksa machmas atzmoy. Let's say my food is buried underneath a hammer, underneath a collection of hammers. Or let's say a whole collection of hammers. So then, in order to get, now I'm allowed to move these hammers to get to the food buried underneath, because the hammer is a kli shemalachtoi leiser, and a kli shemalachtoi leiser is mutter letavul tzarech gufoi oy mekoymai. I feel the kulu tavul b'sarech mutter lefanoisa, but v'davka k'sarech ledvar heter. It's only when you need it. But if you do not need it, okay. Next page, we have it. If you do not need it. But the only reason why I want to get the fruit or want to get the item that is there is because I don't want to cause the muksa to move is because the muksa should not get ruined. That's asur. Afilu betiltul minatzad asur. The only time you're allowed to be metaltal muksa, you're allowed to be metaltal muksa minatzad. He's telling us a very powerful rule. This leniency of being metaltal muksa min hatsad, to cause muksa to move in an indirect way, is only when you have a purpose that you need something. Either I need the muksa for itself. I need the muksa to be in this location because I want it to serve as a base. I want to rest something upon it, or I need to move the muksa min hatsad because I want to get something else. It's in my way. And the way I want to go get the object that I need is I need to be metaltal, the result of the metaltal muksa min hatsad. So the goal is to do something positive. But the only reason my objective is that the muksa should be moved, and it's going to be moved min hatsad, is because I want to protect the muksa from damage. That is osur. You're not allowed to be metaltal muksa, even min hatsad, if the objective is the muksa should not be damaged. That's a very big chumrah. Halach Yidal.
Like if it's a wallet, then you're going to lose your money, so to be in.
So for Hefzid Merubah, that's an exception. It's a small loss. So Hefzid Merubah is different. That we have yet to come to. A Hefzid Merubah, there are more leniencies. But here we're talking about a minor loss. A minor loss, that's right. If the wallet does not have, let's say there's only the wallet, no credit cards, no nothing, there's no security issue, identity theft is priceless, no?
Yeah,
so, but let's say there's nothing in the wallet other than, let's say, a $5. Okay, for some people, $5 is a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But let's say for a person, it's no big deal. So then, too bad. So therefore, let whatever will happen to the money. Oh, but I can use my elbow to move the wallet into a safe location. It doesn't matter. If the loss is going to come to you, it's going to be a very small loss. You're not allowed to move muksa afilu min hatsad, even indirectly through your elbow or through moving something else which will cause this object to move.
There's a lot of halachas over here.
Lot of halachas. Jam-packed. Muksa is a very big topic. Very big. That's why we want a lot of practical halachas. Also, it's very hard as a practical halachas, because we live in such a modern world where it's very hard to define what exactly is muksa machmas atzma, muksa machmas klitsh machalisa, what's all the different examples. But we have to first get the principles. Halach yidal. In ainet sachal tatal biyadayim klal ella the guf ibiraglov, you don't need to touch it at all. But you can do with your guf ibiraglov, afilu b'shul dvar hamukse mutter, the zel or nikra afilu tifl ben atzad. If you're not going to use, so a new category, the tifl ben atzad. I wasn't precise. Tifl ben atzad is where you are being metalical something else. The way you present it is you're being metalical something else in a normal way, and by being metalical something else, the more you're causing the muksa to move. But let's say you actually shove the muksa with your body, with your foot. That is even a greater leniency. I feel the shul devar muksa mutter. Even if you want to preserve the muksa, should not get lost. The zel nikra afil tifl ben atzad and alfi zekish ner chelif uchayetze boy munach al aretz. Mutter l'dochvay biraglav, a ner chelef, which is muksa, which is muksa machmas atzmai, and you don't want it to get ruined. You want to use this kelim another time. You can push it with kick with your foot. The yesh oishim, and not everyone is so generous to allow you to move muksa b'shvil atzmai. It should not get ruined with your guf. Halachat hazvav mitoch zeh yispoer. The mash nohagim limkar b'shabbos ulkabu hamos b'chli oishagarin b'sakin. This that we sell and we makabel money in a cleanup. I don't know what he means over here. Shnoyagim limkar b'shabbos ulkabel hamos b'chli oishagarin b'sakin milvad haro hagedola shal mikcha limkar. Kama simuyos einayim, people are blind. The dafka kishetalto hahetev v'hamuksa noifel me'elav muter. The dafka tzoch davar hamuter. Avol hachash ein kan el tzoch hamos ein shum sofik shu aser gomer. He seems to be saying is that in his time there were people that engaged in business on Shabbos mamish. Their stores were open and they told their customers, just put the money in the can. I'm not going to take the money directly from you. You want to buy something, take whatever you want and put the money in the can, and then the seller, the Jew who shomer Shabbos, he would then take the can and move the can with his body, move the can to the when he wanted to close the store, he would move the can with his body or some type of technique in order to make sure the money is safe and secure.
He was selling to a guy?
Maybe even to Jews. Oh, right, a Jew can't give money. He must be doing goyim, but it must be because the Jew couldn't touch the money mamish. So here, a person is coming onto heterim. So he's saying this, besides the fact that it's nekcha memkar, besides you violating the prohibition of nekcha memkar, this they're making a very big mistake by thinking that having the customer put the money in the can and moving the can indirectly is not a violation of muksa. No such thing. The only time you have a heter to do is only when. Is only when you want, you don't want the mooks, is obviously not in this type of case. So here, because you want the money very much, it's the tzarech hamos, and there's no question that this
is
already
a candy machine.
A candy machine, are you allowed to operate a candy machine on Shabbos? You're not involved. You're asking general questions. Are you allowed to have a Jew or halal to own candy machines?
Right, he's selling candy and he says put the money in the slot.
Basically, put the money so you have Jews own candy machines, vending machines all over the country.
Right.
All the country. So this is old Shaila,
right,
and the person can say it's mutter. It's mutter.
So it's not this case.
This case you're involved. In this case, your mamish involved. Your person is coming into your store. They're coming into your store and they're asking you for merchandise. You're giving them the merchandise and they're paying you. How are they paying? Putting the money in the can. So you mamish conducting business biyodayim. You are mamish engaging in mekcha memkar biyodayim, and then you're taking the money. I'm not taking the money directly. I'm having him put the money in the can, but I'm moving the can. After he finishes putting the money, I'm mamish taking the money in the can. A vending machine, I'm not involved. I'm not on site.
Same
the machine is operating by itself.
Yeah.
What?
Didn't we discuss that with the internet?
Right. So there is that's why all the shilas of having a store, open on Shabbos is an old shila.
Right.
All of the asidas of having e-commerce is all rooted in the candy machine shila. And just like there, it's mutter because you're doing nothing. You're doing absolutely nothing. It's happening by itself. The person's coming and doing it by himself. So too, even though money is coming into your account, doesn't matter. You're not doing anything. You're not involved. It's all automatic. So too, e-commerce is the same thing. You're doing absolutely nothing. There is room to be machmir. And those who want to be machmir, tovoy aleihem bracha. Everyone knows that B&H is closed on Shabbos. Their website does not accept payments. They allow you to browse. If you go to the website on Shabbos, so you can browse the website. But if you come to check out, what?
You know,
so the technology is so old. The system knows when a person comes to the website, you instantly know from which country they've come from and if it's Shabbos in that country. That's the easiest part. I was able to do that in WordPress 10 years ago. Okay, what
companies, for example, will not sell to Israel if you're Israeli. Or a credit card because they know you shouldn't be using an American credit card. Whatever.
There's another shaila. If your clientele are Jews, if you have to assume the only time it's smooth to do this, if you assume that the majority of your customers are non-Jews. If you have a reason to suspect that your customers are Jews who are irreligious, then there is a violation of lifnei iver lo sitein mirshol. There is a very big shaila. So let's say you're selling religious items. You're selling Judaica. Okay, you're in the business of selling. You have a website that sells Judaica. Who's buying Judaica on Shabbos? Jews. What, goyim? The majority of people who are buying Judaica, if you're selling electronics, you're selling televisions and video cameras. They buy televisions. No one's saying they don't buy televisions. But the majority of your customers are non-Jews. You have a right to make that assumption. That's why there's no issue with it either. But if you're selling something which is typically bought, purchased by Jews, for example, a very simple example is Judaica. You're selling matzah plates and you're selling shofars. So who buys these things? Irreligious Jews are buying this on Shabbos. Religious Jews are not buying this on Shabbos. Irreligious Jews are buying this. Goyim don't care for these things. So then there's a real question of lifnei iver lo sitei mechshol. Operating a website, morningkolel.com, is open on Shabbos. That's a very big shaila. Who would come and do a search? Who would come? First of all, no one comes to the website. But if someone would do a Google search, I would end up at this website. Who would it be? It wouldn't be a Shema Shabbos, because he would not be online on Shabbos. So who would it be? It would be a conservative Jew, or a reformed Jew, or someone more likely, someone who wants to know more about religion. So by having it operate on Shabbos, I am over on Lifnei Iver, Loisitein Mirshol, because I'm allowing him to browse on Shabbos. It is a real Shaila. I ask a Shaila, the Torah anytime.
No, it's Kiruv.
What? No, yeah. Kiruv is not a violation of Shabbos. Kiruv is not a violation. I'm very friendly with the people who run Torah anytime. Torah anytime, the headquarters is Or Yitzchak, right down on Shabbos. The big machas who run Torah anytime, their website is unbelievable. Okay, they're like probably the second they're like after YUTorah.org. YUTorah is the top, is the spitz, and then comes Torah anytime. Torah anytime, they're catching up very quickly. Okay, they've really taken major strides in the quality of the shiurim, and the technology is really, they're really, really working, hustling on every dimension.
They
what?
Have a booth at the Aguda convention.
The Aguda convention, really? Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Wow, I gotta go talk to them about that. Okay, they told me that. Okay, but I'm very friendly with Yosef Davis, Moshe Soifer, a couple of other guys, Mayor, I've got his last name. These guys, they work their head off. One of them is employed full time, everyone is a volunteer. I'm very familiar with the people. So I asked them point blank, the big mach, how come you open on Shabbos? So he says, we had a lot of discussions about that with Paiskin. A lot of discussions about that, and the psak was, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything, even though they're religious. I don't remember the law. I have to review with him. I want to go talk to him again. Well, I'll believe that, I'll come back and I'll tell you what he said.
There's no lifnei iver there.
Why not? Because they're Jews. Who's coming there? What?
He's a kaddish in Nishba. It's maybe the Rabbanon.
So what?
Would you rather watch the Flintstones or the baseball game?
It doesn't matter. It's still through you. You don't want it on your record, your watch, that they were Mechal Shabbos. It's not Chil Shabbos Deraisa. It's Chil Shabbos Deraban. Surfing the web is not Deraisa. There's no way you can say when you surf the web, you even know any Deraisa. No way you can possibly say that. Impossible. So it's a Derabanan. It's a Mesasek. Whatever it is, he actually told me that they were thinking about that, like the time zones. When it's Shabbos, there should the homepage or the page you come in contact today, it's Shabbos Kodesh. Like there should be a Kiruv opportunity. Like anyone that comes here on Shabbos, you know it's Shabbos Kodesh, and they were going to use that as a way to promote Shabbos. I don't think that ever happened. I have to go back, Billy Nether, and ask him to find out much more, all the details. They focus on, they like video. Audio also.
Are we on it?
Audio. What?
Are we on
it? We're not on it anytime. No, we are not. Before I knew them, when I first started this Koilo, I didn't know anyone from Torah anytime. So I sent in, I didn't want to make my own website, so I sent, I wanted to be on Torah anytime. It was a very primitive site. In those years, it was very, very primitive. Very, very, very yeshivish. Way too yeshivish. So I contacted them, and they said, okay, send us samples. We don't just take anyone on Torah anytime. We only take people of high quality. We want to hear some samples. So I sent them my best stuff.
This morning.
And guess what?
This morning.
Guess what?
Wasn't good enough.
They didn't
send them another one from this morning.
No, it's whatever it is, what it is. So it ended up, so then I actually found out later on it was a mis- they were so busy. The reason why they didn't ignore me was because they were just drowning in debt and drowning in technological problems. And then subsequently I happened to meet a fellow. Oh, you Torah anytime, and I got very, very friendly with one, with another, and then I linked up Dr. Mandel, who does a Tisha B'Av program, and now, in fact, they take the lead in broadcasting this program. I mean, I'm very friendly with them, and they even offered me a job, part time, and I tell him I might actually go work for them at some point in time, and we'll spoil whatever. So I became very friendly with them. But in the meantime, I made my own website. And once I made it, I just kept it. And you know something? Publicity, I learned many times, it's not so good. Keep a low profile. Keep a low profile. You're a lot better off. You get into a lot of trouble.
I was attending the Shiva.
Yeah.
Moshe
Meir. Moshe
Meir Weiss. As Angel Green got calmer, I live with them.
Right, I know. People who are on Tardy Time, it has transformed their life. Their reach is enormous. The power and influence of Rav Tzvi Stamboli.